Hello.
Good morning. I'm Stephanie Regal, and welcome to Talk Louisiana. Jim Engster is off this morning, but we're happy to have you with us today. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And joining me first up this morning is Scott Kirkpatrick, Executive Director of CRISIS, a Capital Region group that lobbies for transportation infrastructure funding. Scott is an attorney and has been around the state capitol for a number of years and has been at the helm of CRISIS for a number of years now and is trying to help us get a handle on the gridlock that plagues daily life in and around Baton Rouge. Scott, are you there with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning. Thanks for being here today.
Good morning. Happy to be with you.
So, Scott, it has been a number of years now. CRISIS was formed, what, back in 2015? Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct.
And have we made progress since then?
I do think we've made considerable progress. I think the first thing we're able to do, in addition to coalescing the business community behind this issue, was to highlight the major projects that could make a difference in our region. We did kind of a cost-benefit analysis, and I think that, in looking back, has been incredibly helpful as we get the community focused on what we need to do to improve traffic. And just a couple things that were high on that list, the I-10 widening in Ascension that is now completed, the I-10 widening through Baton Rouge from the bridge to the split that is now has considerable funding and is starting to go to construction, and then also the bridge being the last major piece of that we're obviously working very hard on. I know we'll discuss this morning.
And I guess when you put it that way, it makes it sound like we've made a lot of progress in 6 years or so. Tell us, give us sort of a rundown of where things are in the legislature this session. I know going into this session, there was talk of a gas tax. And then when we realized we were going to get this windfall of federal money, it didn't seem wise to push a gas tax. So that sort of went away. But there are a lot of infrastructure bills floating around out there that, because of so many other issues, haven't quite gotten the attention that I think is merited.
Yeah, so you're right. They're still floating around. There was an interesting article in Advocate the other day talking about how the federal effort on infrastructure has, caused, confusion or just a little harder time for states to focus on this issue because states aren't exactly sure what they may get out of the federal program. And I think that's a reason that probably the gas tax, didn't get quite the traction. But your legislators, they know we have a major problem, and they want to fix it. We're seeing that just across the board. And they also know that given where they are in the term, this being the second year of their term, this is really the year that you would make a move on infrastructure. And so if they want to go, when they're running for reelection, if they want to say they did something related to improving roads and bridges, this is really the year. And for that reason, there are a couple proposals that are out there that are, I think, will work their way through over the next couple weeks. One is a dedication of the vehicle sales tax, at least a portion of that, to transportation. And the other is working on that 0.45 sales tax and extending that to provide and dedicating it to transportation. So those are probably two significant pieces that are moving through the legislature.
If you have a question for Scott Kirkpatrick, you can call 297-5633 in the Baton Rouge area or 877-217-5757. So, Scott, so these two efforts that you specifically mentioned, dedicating a portion of the vehicle sales tax or the 0.45-cent sales tax, and I know that was specifically sponsored by some Baton Rouge lawmakers. That was that extra portion of the sales tax that was passed a few years ago to, keep us from falling off the fiscal cliff, right? And that money is supposed to expire in a couple of years, and the idea would be to dedicate this specifically towards funding for a new bridge. And they also wisely threw in several other projects from around the state to get, presumably, buy-in from a cross-section of legislators. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I think it is a cross-section of major projects across the state that they feel regional delegations could get excited about. And obviously, in the capital region, it's the new bridge that really has kind of coalesced not only our area, but also our delegation as far as what's needed.
Okay. And so I wrote about this bill a couple of weeks ago. I think it's probably been 3 weeks now. Where is it? Has it gone through committee?
It did get through committee. It's actually scheduled for the House floor on Tuesday. And okay. So I know that Representative Paula Davis is the lead author on that. She's working closely with Senator Rick Ward, but also has a number of other Baton Rouge legislators on that bill, including Representative Barbara Freiberg. And she is working with her colleagues on what maybe is the best arrangement for that, how it needs to be postured for folks to feel like it's a good vote, how it can be situated to make sure it generates enough revenue to do the things that everybody wants it to do and to do the major projects in the bill.
Is it encountering much opposition?
I think it's got some good momentum, but it's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic, I would say that, because it is the 0.45 is set to expire in 2025. And so you have people all across the board. Some legislators say, yes, let's just let it expire, right? Others
right.
say, no, we need all of that money to go into the general fund as it's going now, because that's going to support, let's say, things like higher ed and healthcare. And then you got many, though, who say, you know what, I think the right middle ground is to make sure, since this was only temporary, that we don't continue putting it in the general fund, but that we dedicate it to a really important need that we have, which is infrastructure. And so I think she's trying to find kind of the right balance for legislators on that issue. And I will mention a number of states, use some portion of sales tax to fund transportation. And as we probably move into a time where the gas tax will probably generate less in the future, it's important states look at other means of financing their infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. And you stressed, the whole dedicated issue, and I know that's been a big part of this, right? I mean, because we've had allegedly dedicated funds that go into transportation before, like notably the Transportation Trust Fund. And as we know, a lot of that money actually didn't get spent on transportation infrastructure, but on DOTD operations.
Yeah, that's right. I think what voters seem to appreciate is similar to what we saw with the Move VR effort in Baton Rouge. They want to know exactly what their dollars will go towards. And when they do know that, they can get some confidence in voting for it and supporting that. And so I think that's a good model for kind of raising transportation revenue. And I think, legislators are trying to duplicate that as best they can in this situation.
All right. We have a caller, Tom, in Woodland Ridge. Tom, good morning. Welcome to Talk Louisiana. You're on with Scott Kirkpatrick.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, Scott. Scott, I think you may have inadvertently touched on a real big issue when you talked about how legislators are motivated to look at infrastructure in an election year. Isn't the larger issue that we need to get term limits installed on these legislators so that their motivation is to do what's right for the people as opposed to what's best for their next campaign? Thanks a lot.
Yes, appreciate that. So I will, at the state level, they do have term limits. So they're all limited to 3-4-year terms in both the House and Senate, and that's something significantly done a few decades ago. You might be referring, though, certainly to at the federal level, where they do not have term limits. And so certainly that topic does come back up at the federal level.
That's a good point. We have Barry in Mid-City on line 3. Barry, good morning. You're on with Scott Kirkpatrick.
Yes, thank you for a great program. What will be the impact as electric vehicles begin to be prevalent here in our region, please?
Such a good question. Thanks for bringing that up, Barry. What do you think, Scott?
Yes, a lot of speculation about just how quickly they'll come on the scene. I certainly think in the past year, you've seen people talk more about that possibility. And so just purely from a transportation revenue standpoint. Right now, we obviously pay a gas tax at the pump. That tax really in Louisiana is our exclusive source of transportation funding. And so even a small decrease in that is very impactful, because we already are not paying enough for our transportation roads. And so, if 20-30% of the cars out there are electric, I mean, that would be just a huge hit to our revenue. And we'd have to look for other ways to fund infrastructure.
But, I mean, it does seem inevitable that it's something that's coming down the pike, wouldn't you say? And we have to start preparing for it. It's just a question of how soon.
I think that's right, yeah.
Okay, well, we are going to go to a break, and we have a caller on the line. So, Phil, when we get back from our break, we'll put you on with Scott Kirkpatrick. Stay tuned. Come back to Talk Louisiana. Good morning, and welcome back to Talk Louisiana. I'm Stephanie Regal in this morning for Jim Engster, and we're visiting with Scott Kirkpatrick talking about transportation infrastructure and bills in the legislature currently that might help us address this problem. Scott, we have a caller on the line with a question for you. Phil, good morning. Phil in Jefferson Terrace.
Good morning. The thing about term limits, I mean, if we had people like John Olerio and Lindy Boggs, if they had been term limited, their careers, I mean, there was so much legislative work that they had the chops to do because of how long they were in office. And the thing is, we need a gas tax. We need to be paying the true cost of what this stuff is doing to our nation and our pollution. Economy. I'm sorry.
Well, Phil, you make you make an interesting point about the term limits, and certainly there are two sides to that coin, because when you get a lot of new people in, as what happened last year, like 2/3 of the Louisiana legislature was new. And we had a pandemic, so there wasn't even an opportunity for a lot of lobbyists and special interest groups to get to know them. Scott, have you, just in your years of experience over there, do you really feel like the dynamic is different at the Capitol today? I mean, not saying anybody's doing anything wrong, but, I mean, is it just a different feel not having that sort of long-time relationships that have built up over years and years?
It's certainly different, and I think that there's certainly pros and cons. I do think related, let's say, to this infrastructure issue, and as you're visiting with a legislator about raising funds who's relatively new, that's a very interesting dynamic as you talk to them about the dynamics of that. Maybe somebody who's been around longer can see how different tax votes have played out. Whereas somebody who's new and in some ways doesn't have the benefit of that experience to see that when they're getting calls from their constituents, how they process that. So it does certainly impact advocacy. I think here we've got, 50, 60 new legislators. They're wrestling with they know they want to make improvements in infrastructure. Maybe they don't have the benefit of a decade of sitting around the legislature saying, but for us passing new revenue, we know we will not make an impact on this. Sometimes you can, they may be a little more optimistic that somehow they can cut their way out of this problem, which if you've been around long enough, really isn't going to be an option for us. So, yeah, it certainly impacts the dynamics and impacts issues that we deal with.
So, the gas tax is dead for now, and this federal money, I know there's been a lot of talk about how we really have to leverage and maximize this opportunity with this huge windfall of federal pandemic relief. It's probably the last big, big batch like this we're going to get. Can any of that be used on infrastructure? I mean, apart from Paula Davis's bill, what are they looking at using that money for?
So that's a great question. So we've had several iterations of federal money. The most recent one is this American Rescue Plan, which has been the money's recently allocated. And thankfully, the governor prioritized infrastructure some of that money should be used, I think, to the tune of about $800 million over 2 years. That issue is now with legislators. They have likewise said they feel like some level of infrastructure funding should be used out of that. And so we are aggressively advocating to get some of that money. But it is eligible, and you're right, it could be very beneficial. At the same time, we're talking about money from the rescue plan. You also have the kind of the Biden infrastructure proposal that is kind of pending in D.C. I don't even believe the bill has been dropped yet, but it's been talked about in concept, and that would really be a major funding source for the bridge and other major projects across the state.
But that's such a big question mark. So let's talk about the bridge. I mean, how realistic is it at this point, say, where we are with respect, you know, maybe a bill in the legislature that can help, maybe a Biden infrastructure bill in Congress, maybe. Meanwhile, the Corps is out there working with some consultants on trying to identify the best site. I mean, work is moving forward, but, like, how realistic is this thing and what kind of time frame are we talking about?
Yeah, so I think on the funding side, we want to think about layering different funding sources. You're right, we don't know how much each one may be at this time, but if we can layer those funding sources, including possibly tolls, we can get to paying for that bridge. From the development side, and here's what's really important for the Capital Region, we have consistently failed to move the bridge project and or the bypass projects through the planning process because we can't agree as a region on where it's located. And so a number of people may recall there was a big major effort in the mid-2000s to get a bypass, a loop around Baton Rouge. And it fell apart because we just didn't have the political will to get behind locations. And so that's going to be really important for this region this time through as we're going through the planning. It will be over the next year, the public is really going to have a chance to provide input on that. And we'll see as a region if we can rally around a location for that bridge. Because even if we had the money now, we couldn't build it because we haven't settled on the location.
So it's not just a question of where it's most optimal to cross the river from the Army Corps of Engineers perspective. You're talking about the roads that lead up to the bridge and what part of the, you know, which parish those go through. That's where the disagreement has been, huh?
Yes.
Wow.
You're right. The Coast Guard get involved, the Corps get involved. They do take out some locations because of different things. But at the end of the day, what happened in 2000, it was just, you know, it's often the neighborhoods and it's the different residents that are around where the location is that aren't happy about it. And ultimately can lose kind of political favor. And we've got to make sure that we certainly address any concerns as best we can, but we need to know as a region that we've got to locate this bridge. We just waited too long.
And I know that there were famously stories that I've heard congressmen tell about how sometimes you can't even get all the Capital Region parish presidents in the same room. At least that was the situation a few years ago. Maybe it's better now. 297-563-3877-217-5757. If you have a question for Scott, we still have a couple of minutes left with him. Scott, who is leading that effort? I mean, who's really trying to herd the cats and get everybody on the same page?
Yeah, so significantly, a Capital Area Road and Bridge District was pulled together legislatively several years back, and they have each of the five parish presidents who are on that body. That body can raise funding if it needs to. Also, it gets quarterly updates about what's going on, so it provides some accountability to DOTD and others as they work on this. I'm very hopeful that through that body, they can kind of coalesce around a location. But ultimately, it is a federal process, and there is a Atlas Engineering is the consultant moving us through that process. And so we do have to check all the necessary boxes at the federal level to get to kind of the final decision on where that bridge should be located.
Scott, what would be your best guess of when we might really be able to hope to see a new bridge in Baton Rouge?
My hope would be in 5 years that we could see it.
Done.
5-6 years.
Done.
Yeah.
Well, that would be.
Yeah,
very...
they can. Yeah. I mean, it would require us to obviously get the funding in hand to come together very quickly in the next couple of years on the location and finish the environmental process, and then we do have an option or some expedited building construction, design build construction manager at risk type things that if we had the money, we could use those, which would be very exciting.
And I just real quick, because we just have about a minute left, but a lot of talk about trying to take some of this dedicated money away from DOTD operations, and make sure it goes strictly to roads and bridges. Is DOTD okay with that?
I think they're concerned about that, right? That means they would have to get their funding out of the general fund, which is not so unusual for agencies, but I certainly understand that having their funding source currently, they're not eager to lose it. So I think there'll be continue to be interesting discussions about that, about how you handle it. Obviously, if you move their funding to the general fund, that means the legislators have to find that funding from somewhere.
Always are interesting discussions. Scott Patrick, sorry to cut you off, but thank you so much for joining us this morning. And good luck today. And we'll be back after this short break with Corey Wilson from Breck.
To legalize recreational marijuana will be heard on the House floor today. JMC Analytics pollster John Cuvion says his polling shows nearly 7 out of every 10 Louisiana voters support full legalization. But Mandeville Representative Richard Nelson's bill faces strong opposition inside the state capitol.
The sheriffs and the DAs and those in the conservative religious community.
Supporters argue legalization could raise as much as $200 million a year in state revenue. Opponents argue it will lead to increased marijuana consumption. Construction is underway in Shreveport on an Amazon fulfillment center that would create over 1,000 full-time jobs with starting pay of $15 per hour. Governor John Bel Edwards says this is a major economic development victory.
Millions of products will be shipped from Shreveport, and thousands of families in this community and surrounding communities will enjoy a greater quality of life.
LRN.
Good morning and welcome back to Talk Louisiana. I'm Stephanie Regal in today for Jim Engster, Katie Ann McDonald producing, and joining me this morning for the second segment of the show to discuss a controversial and potentially very disastrous bill making its way through the legislature is Corey Wilson, executive director of BREC, Baton Rouge's award-winning parks and recreation system. And Corey is currently fighting a bill by very powerful Central Senator Bodie White that would break up BREC and create two smaller independent park systems, one for Central and another for Zachary. Good morning, Corey. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you, Stephanie?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for joining us. So tell us a little bit about Senator White's bill. I know it made its way past the first hurdle last week when a Senate committee passed it. Now it goes to the full Senate this week and then maybe on to the House. What's the story?
Yeah, so the bill that's been proposed by Senator White, along with a few other co-authors of the bill, proposes to take the property taxes that BREC currently receives and divert those taxes to a separate park district in those areas. Those areas also would have control and ownership of the property, and obviously would be required to maintain them. So BREC receives about $65 million annually in property taxes, 2.5 from Central, 2 million from Zachary. We also have several properties in Zachary and Central as well. So in general, that's what the bill is about.
You mentioned that he had several co-authors on that, and I know that one of the interesting things about that bill, and Bodie White is very skilled in the legislative arts, and so he got several of his co-sponsors were the Republicans on the Senate committee that he needed to pass the first hurdle, and they all co-sponsored the bill, although one of them, Senator Franklin Foyle, who represents sort of part of the St. George district, Though he voted to advance the bill, he amended it first to pull St. George out. Was that a partial victory for y'all, at least that St. George would stay in the BREC system should this bill eventually become reality?
Yeah, and so initially the bill did include St. George, and I didn't mention that initially. In St. George, the proposed city of St. George, we currently receive $12.5 million from that area. Again, much larger area, 86,000 people. And so, yeah, Senator Foyle did make an amendment to remove St. George from the bill, thus keeping St. George as part of BREC. And so that was a significant impact to the bill. I mean, we were looking at a reduction of $17 million, with St. George making up 12.5. So now we're looking at a reduction of $4.5 million. And so, as you mentioned, Senator White did have several co-authors of the bill who were in the initial committee that heard the bill last Wednesday. And so I guess it makes it difficult to vote against a bill that you co-authored. And so that essentially made it a given that it would go through that committee.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. We have a call, Corey. Randy in Zachary. Good morning, Randy. You're on with Corey Wilson from BREC.
Yes, I think you ought to just leave it alone. I think it's worked fairly well, so just leave it alone. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Randy. I think a lot of people probably think that. And curiously, Corey, maybe you can speak to Central's mayor, and Central's administration also is in favor of leaving it alone. And yet Senator White, who has his own faction of support in Central, persists. You met with him and tried to talk him out of it or heard him out or what?
Yes, and so, as you mentioned, Mayor Barrow in Central is totally against it and has spoken publicly in terms of the service that BREC is currently providing, and that he believes that we should continue as we are. Also, you know, there's a lot of discussion regarding there was no public input. And so while you have the mayor of Central against it, Senator White did have two Central councilmen who were supporting the bill at the committee on last Wednesday. But as the caller just mentioned, you know, it appears, you know, I refer to the bill as a solution looking for a problem, because as the caller said, things are working well. You know, the people at BREC are working hard to serve not only those two areas, but the entire parish. And we try and do so by following the best standards you know, constantly talking to the community. That's the most disappointing thing about the bill to me, is that it did not seek the input of what the community wanted. And it's their tax dollars we're talking about. So
I do think that's one of the interesting aspects about this particular piece of legislation, and that, say, in the case of the Senate, you know, Local and Municipal Affairs Committee that approved it last week, that a senator from Turkey Creek and a senator from New Orleans gets to decide a breakup of our parish park system here in Baton Rouge. And I just wonder how it would play if the situation, you know, were reversed and, you know, Baton Rouge lawmakers were voting on breaking up NORD or something like that. Which is maybe not an apt comparison, but you get the point. You're a lawyer, Corey. I mean, is there a concern here about a larger precedent? Like, don't you think that people should get to vote on this, or how's that going to play out?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of things you have to consider. First, you know, BREC, when it was created in 1946, 75 years ago, it was created by the state legislature through a state statute and legislative act, creating a separate district that would have its own taxing authority. You know, when a lot of people talk about BREC as being the model, that's sort of what they're referring to, the ability to sort of levy your own taxes and not necessarily being part of a city department that your budget is sort of determined on, you know, how well the previous years of sales tax were and those sort of things like that. And so the intent of having a park district, I think, is a great idea. If you're out there listening and your community doesn't have a park district, I would encourage you to create one. Parks provide a lot of great benefits. But as you mentioned, we had a senator in Jefferson Parish who ironically, Jefferson Parish's parish president actually came to Breck in 2016 to ask, how can she help consolidate the many small park districts in Jefferson Parish so that they could be more like Breck? Yet we had a senator voting to break up the park district here in Baton Rouge. But, you know, I don't want to judge the legislative process. I do, you know, it's for the greater of the state. And so maybe those senators are making decisions that they think benefit their community and ultimately, you know, benefits the state. But to your point, I don't think you have to, whatever you're trying to achieve for your community, I don't think you have to do that by destroying or dismantling something that's working in another community.
297-5633 in the Baton Rouge area, or 877-217-5757 if you have a question for Breck's Executive Director, Corey Wilson. Corey, what do you think is going on there? I mean, I did a little bit of reporting on this, and it's no secret that Senator White is the president of the Central Area Youth League, which is one of the biggest users of the sports park in Central, which, of course, is one of the sort of crown jewels, you know, that in Breck's, right? So what role does that play into this, if any?
I'm not sure. You know, when this first all sort of came about in April, I believe the bill was filed April 2nd, I did learn that the bill was previously filed in 2008. And so I went back and looked up, I mean, anybody can Google, and so was able to see some information in terms of what happened in 2008. Or, you know, shortly after Central was created in 2006. And so I did see that the bill was filed, and I believe it at that time it went through the House and didn't make it through the Senate. But I did see records that Breck has that talks about a compromise, and some of the articles online talk about a compromise where Breck purchased a piece of property in Central and created it, a sports park there with multiple baseball fields. Senator White has been very helpful in helping get capital outlay dollars for that park so that we can enhance it and improve it even more now with turf fields. Breck does have a cooperative endeavor agreement with the Central Area Youth League. I mean, we have many cooperative endeavor agreements with different organizations that want to provide services using our facilities. We encourage that. And so Senator White has been the chairman of that youth league for a while. I know he's passionate about baseball and youth softball. I know a lot of his family members and grandkids play. So I know that's something near and dear to his heart, and he says he can't find anybody else to take his place, so that's sort of why he continues to do it. But
all right, well, we have two callers. We have just a few seconds to but Bill in Baton Rouge, we're going to take your question real quick, and then we'll come back and let Corey answer it. Bill, are you there? Oh, sorry, Terrell.
Terrell, yeah.
Okay. Terrell, I tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold real quick, and we're going to come back to you as soon as this break, and you can ask your question then.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks so much. All right, welcome back to Talk Louisiana. I'm Stephanie Regal, and we are going to continue our conversation with Corey Wilson from Breck. And I had to cut Terrell off to get that commercial break, but Terrell, you are on the line now with Corey Wilson. Good morning. Thanks for your patience. What is your question?
Yes, I guess it's the politics of the deal. Why is Baker not even mentioned? And also, is there a chance that Central and Zachary are planning on privatizing the operations of their parks? Thanks.
Terrell, both very good questions. Corey, what do you think about that?
Hello?
Corey, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, did you hear Terrell's question?
I did. And so the question, the first question regarding why Baker was not included, I can't answer that. Only the authors of the bill can answer that, which is kind of interesting. Seems like I'm doing more interviews than authors of the bill. But in the second question, remind me again, Stephanie.
Well, he asked if perhaps Central and Zachary, in your opinion, might be looking to privatize a park system, should they have their own?
Yeah, so that's a great question because, you know, part of the concern of the bill is what would the citizens of Central and Zachary be getting? How would their lives be improved? And so, you know, in terms of maintaining a park system, I mean, we're cutting the grass, we're cleaning bathrooms, picking up trash, and so we have 180 parks, and we privatize 125 of them are through contracts, many of them in Central and Zachary. So we go through a public bid process. So we are receiving the lowest bidders for people that cut the grass. So they're not going to cut the grass any cheaper than we are cutting the grass. They're not going to clean the bathrooms any cheaper than we're cleaning the bathrooms. So essentially, they're just going to have additional superintendent, additional boards that will be receiving compensation. And those would be the only added things that the community would get. I don't know what their motivation is, but privatizing isn't going to get it any cheaper or more efficient than what we're currently doing.
Interesting. Okay. Bill, you're on the line with Corey Wilson. Bill, good morning. Thanks for your patience.
Good morning. Corey, has anyone looked into the constitutionality of this bill? It seems like a massive taking without compensation of property and assets from the taxpayers of East Baton Rouge Parish.
Yeah, that's a great question, yeah. Bill. Thanks so much. Corey, what can you say to that?
Yeah, so our in-house legal counsel, as well as our external attorneys at Brazil Saxe, are looking at the Constitution question. You know, the plan of government, to Bill's point, for the parish, talks about BREC, you know, controlling, owning, operating all of the park land in the parish, and that in order to change that plan of government, it would require a vote of the people. Additionally, we know in 2016, voters went to the polls in record numbers as we were voting for mayor and president. And those voters overwhelmingly voted for their property taxes to be controlled and operated by BREC for the next 10 years. And so, you know, this bill would ignore that vote and take those tax dollars and put them in the hands of those yet to be created park districts, which would hire, you know, yet to be appointed superintendents. So
does that mean that, you know, y'all are already fashioning a legal argument and would, you know, be prepared to go to litigation should this bill eventually become reality?
I mean, we're going to always consider all of our options throughout the process. Hopefully, cooler heads prevail and the decision is made prior to the bill moving forward. You know, it still has to go through several votes. And, you know, it's our hope, again, elected officials are representing the people they elect. And so it's our hope that the community would speak up, speak to their representatives. We certainly need our Baton Rouge legislation informing the other members of these committees and the state legislators how important this is to our community, so that they will make the right choice when voting on the matter. So
okay, well, Dan downtown has a question for you, Corey. Dan, good morning.
Yes. Is Bodie White just pandering to the race-based divisiveness prevalent in today's Republican Party?
All right. Corey, you want to tackle that one?
No, I can't speak to the senator's motivations. I would encourage him to come on and speak for himself regarding, you know, to the point that I think a lot of us has made. What the senator has said publicly is local control is better. And I think there's something to be said about that. And I would agree with him, which is why I believe the voters of East Baton Rouge Parish should be deciding on this local issue. You know, it's tough to say local should be in control and local is better than you have senators and House state representatives from all over the parish making a decision on something that's not local. So,
all right. Well, thank you, Dan. Zach in Shenandoah, you have a question for Corey. Good morning.
Good morning. I truly appreciate the conversation we're having this morning. But let's be real about what's happening here. This is all about money and power. So we wonder sometimes what they're doing and why they're doing it. It's very simple. It's always about money and about power. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Zach. Corey, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, Zach is my neighbor. I actually live in Shenandoah as well. He's not my real neighbor, but I live in Shenandoah. And Senator White is my senator as well. You know, when you peel back the onion, and if it is, you know, there's not a long list of problems on the record that Breck isn't doing this or Breck isn't doing that. And so if I can't point to that, then is it about who controls the dollars? And that would also be valid if Breck had a history of misappropriation or mismanagement of dollars. But again, our audits are online. We're very transparent. We went through a extensive, every contract we have, and we have thousands of contracts reviewed by the Louisiana Legislative Auditor in 2018, which also was, by the way, sort of as a result of some political things going on. But we made it through that audit with you know, minor findings in every audit we have each year. So we're taking care of the public's tax dollars. There's no concern there. We're managing them and controlling them as you would see fit. So that's not a – so if it's about that control – the question is, what would they do different?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a very good point, Corey. You have another caller in Tara, Jennifer. Good morning, Jennifer. You're on with Corey Wilson.
Good morning. I totally support the Breck PARS system and use it. And my question is, if this bill passes, would and they control the Central and Zachary control their parks, would the citizens of Central and Zachary still be able to access the Breck parks in that, you know, the rest of the Breck parks, or would they have access to both their parks and the other Breck parks? And would the citizens of the other areas of the parish not have access to their parks?
All right, Jennifer, thanks so much. Corey, parks are open to everyone, right?
Yeah. Yes, and so Jennifer brings up a valid point, which is why, you know, even if you're not in Central and Zachary, you should be very concerned about this bill. Because as you mentioned, the citizens of Central can access any park in Baton Rouge. The citizens of Ascension Parish can access any park in East Baton Rouge. And so that's going to remain the same. The only thing that will change is now the city of Central and the city of Zachary will only use their tax dollars to fund their park systems. They would still attend the zoo. You know, Zachary attends the zoo at a higher rate than most zip codes. I think they're number three
out of all the zip codes that visit. And so they're going to continue visiting the zoo, but they'll no longer be paying into a system that contributes to the zoo. Those are the, you know, again, even when you talk about properties, we have properties in Central, but they are accessible to everybody in the parish. So are those Central Parks? Are those Zachary Parks? Those are things that, you know, would need to be discussed further, but the bill would leave the burden of paying for everything, golf courses, those Blue Bonnet Swamp, that would be left. Those parish-wide facilities would have to be supported by the rest of the parish, not Central and Zachary.
Well, I wish we had more time to continue this conversation because there's been so much interest, but Corey Wilson will be following the progress of this bill and your efforts to oppose it. Thank you so much for taking time to join us, and thank you for joining me this morning on Talk Louisiana. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from First Financial. Producing this morning is Katie Ann McDaniel. I'm Stephanie Regal. Jim Engster will be back tomorrow. Thanks so much for joining us.